Just says, Sammy, how can you tell me you love me and you lie like that? And I thought, what? You're telling him, how can you say you love me and you lie? What do you think you're doing? You're trying to murder this guy and take the money. And Samson's like, duh, I don't understand. But even though we laugh at it, that's exactly what happens today. How many times a guy will say, if you love me, come on. Don't tell me you love me and then withhold from me. I'm saying to the girls today, come on, wake up.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message on the life of Samson and how the choices that he made led him straight down the path to Delilah's brand new barbershop, Fantastic Samson's. Seems hard to believe he could fall into such a trap, and yet we do it ourselves almost every day. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Samson, Lessons from the Past.
God might be saying, it was my grace that kept you from getting nailed and getting thrown into prison for a few years. It's my grace so that keeps you with your family or keeps you in graces with your friends or your job. My grace withheld the consequences of your sin because the wages of sin is death. And so I'm by my grace, not your strength, not by how cool you are, not by how cunning you are. It was my grace that withstood the consequences of your act. And instead of us falling on our knees saying, Lord, thank you for your grace and changing because he gave me another chance, sometimes we use it as a rationale to do it again. Hey, listen, I didn't get caught. I'll just do it again and again and again and again. And it's then when we don't steward the grace of God well, but we use it as a rationale, as an excuse to continue in that kind of behavior, it's then that the Lord will pull his hand back and all the bricks will fall in. And we say, God, how come? The Lord said, because back here I gave you a gift of grace and you did not steward it well. Instead, you took it for granted as an excuse to continue in sin. And whenever anybody uses my mercy as a reason to continue in sin, whenever anyone is using my grace, when I blow up at my wife or do something or abuse her, and then my family heals back up, that's the grace of God. You ain't divorced and everything is destroyed. But when I use God's grace to continue saying, I did it once, I can do it again, I can do it again. And they just have to respond in the same way. Whenever I start using God's grace as a reason to continue my behavior, the Lord says, that's it. There goes my grace. And then bang, everything is destroyed. Listen, God's grace is a gift. Steward it well. Steward it well. Because it's not something to cause us to continue in sin. It's something that will cause us to change our ways. That's God's grace. And so 3,000 attack. He kills 1,000 of these. And he thought, I can do this again and again, and it's no problem. So he continues to compromise. But there's an all points bulletin out on this guy. I mean, you can just hear this all points bulletin going to all of these Philistine SWAT teams now. It kind of sounds like this. Jewish bodybuilder needs a major haircut in a bad way. Watch for him. Has a weakness for anything that wears a skirt. He's not armed, but super dangerous. Especially with leftover bones. This bugger, he's strong. Reward offered. And now they're coming after him. So he turns from Rambo into Dirty Harry, but now he's the fugitive. He's running for his life. And things go from bad to worse. But still, will not control his appetites. And he turns to loose living and he begins visiting prostitutes in private. Compromise always begins in private. To the point where he loses his assignment. He loses his identity of what he was supposed to be in the first place. And he loses his eyesight spiritually. He can't see right from wrong. Now his Achilles heel is a looker. I mean, this girl is a babe. Her name is Delilah. She's from the Valley of Sorek. She's a valley girl, whatever. Maybe she found that there was a bounty on this guy. I don't know. Maybe she wanted him for his money and thought, well, I can just kind of shyster him out of his money because the reward is really big. Well, he falls in love with her. I mean, who wouldn't? She has these beautiful, long, luscious, tempting false eyelashes. And a couple of blinks and he was putty in her hands. So he starts sleeping with her and loses sight of his calling. And I mean, tell you, what's about to happen is really crazy. I mean, I'll share this with you, but you're about to hear something that it's like he goes from Rambo to Dirty Harry, then to The Fugitive, and now it's sort of like Dumb and Dumber. I mean, it is bad. And if he could speak, if Samson could speak a second time from the past, this is what he would say. Would you write in number two? People, listen, small compromises bring major consequences. Small compromises bring major consequences, because we start to compromise and God's grace and mercy is so wonderful. And so we just keep going. Small compromises continued will bring major consequences. Now he's spiritually blinded. So he starts taking up with Delilah. And the Philistines find his whereabouts, but they're a little reticent to try and grab him this time, remembering 1,000 were just killed with a bone. So they thought, you know, let's just kind of be a little more careful here. So we need to find the source of his strength. Delilah, they say, we'll give you tons of money and like all the makeup you want, you know, from Shiseido. We'll give you anything you want. If you will reveal to us, find out from him the secret of his strength, because we can't apprehend him except we find the secret of his strength and neutralize it. Delilah says, again, no problem. I can take care of that. So they're sitting on the couch one night and she's stroking his hair. And she says, I got to find the secret of his strength. So she says with her false long eyelashes, Sammy. What do you want, Delilah? Sammy, tell me, how come you're so strong? Well, what do you mean? Oh, I just like to know. So he says, and he makes something up. If you bind me with like fresh cords, seven cords, you bind me real tight, whoo-hoo, takes all my strength away. Okay, Sammy, go sleep. Poo, poo, he knew. Well, he falls asleep and she binds him up. She calls the Philistine SWAT team, so there's right outside the door. And she says, okay, come in. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He gets up, pack, breaks all these things. Poo, he beats these Philistines up. A couple of them run away. And he sits back down, watches TV some more. And Delilah said, you lied to me, Sammy. You're supposed to tell me the secret of your strength. Come on, no secrets. So he's laying down there a second time. Sammy, now she said, tell me, how come you're so strong? He said, well, if you braid my hair into like 7 braids, then I'll get weak. Okay, go sleep. And so when he's sleeping, she's braiding his hair. And then all of a sudden, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He gets up, they charge him, poo, kills a bunch of them. Some run off. And now by this time, it's like, duh, Samson. I mean, he really goes from dumb to dumber. So now this happens a few times. He's laying there again, and then she has the gall to say this now. This is after about 3 times of this. She says, and this is straight out of the Bible, Sammy, she said, not quite like that, Samson, but. She said, Sammy, how can you tell me you love me and you lie like that? True, says that. And I thought, what? You're telling him, how can you say you love me and you lie? What do you think you're doing? You're trying to murder this guy and take the money. I cannot believe this. And Samson's like, duh, I don't understand. I thought, Samson. I mean, I'm even reading this in the Bible, and I'm talking to Samson going, Samson, come on, get wise. You know, but even though we laugh at it, that's exactly what happens today. How many times a guy will say, if you love me, come on. Let's sleep together. Come on. Let's do this. Don't tell me you love me and then withhold from me. I'm saying to the girls today, come on, wake up. The same thing happened here. Lessons from the past, and we repeat it again and again and again. Small compromises bring major consequences. You see, God, does God say that we're all a bunch of sinners? No, not necessarily. You know what? We all make these mistakes, me included. We've all, because that's all we learned. We've been taught that way. Whether you grew up in here in this area or from me, Palolo or mainland or whatever, that's the society in which we live. Everybody's doing it like that. Come on. And we grow up in that kind of mentality. And the devil laughs at us because we're blind. Because God is saying, no, that woman, you, sir, you, young lady, I can have a treasured promise for your future. But because you shortcut it, he does not have time to develop the character necessary and burn out some of the bad stuff. Because you jump together so quickly, you now bring all of this baggage of unlearned character qualities that have yet to be developed. And wrong stuff. And you take that into a marriage and cement it together with all of this problem. It's going to fall apart. What would have been a treasure that would have lasted a lifetime of value will be traded for the pennies of I must have it because I crave it now. And I get permission. And God is saying, there's a lesson from the past. I want you to be wiser. I want you to be wiser. And so what happens is, finally, she's stroking his hair. And she says, Sammy, tell me now, how come you're so strong? And he says, well, and then he relents and says, it's my hair. Guy made a vow with God. And if I keep my hair long, then God will give me strength. It's my hair. You cut my hair off, I become as weak as anybody else. Oh, go sleep. She takes some shears and she starts cutting. But what you see, it wasn't, his strength wasn't in his hair. Yeah, no. His strength was in what his hair represented, a devotion and obedience to God's call. He broke that. And the final straw was the cutting, the shearing of his hair. She cut it. And then the final straw. Let's read Judges 16:20 together. Go. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Oh. You see, God could have had a wonderful promise for Samson as he does for us. But he compromised the timing of God. And didn't get God's blessings, got people's permission, and everything went south. And he would say in number 3, would you write, if Samson could speak again, he would say, partnering with God's promises plus God's timing equals God's blessings. And this is a good lesson for all of us. Now, some of you and some of us might say, well, I didn't do it like that, Wayne. Yep, because we were taught wrong. We were all educated incorrectly because we are part of the world. We're coming out of the world. So this is a good lesson for us to say, Lord, help me to understand this. So from this moment on, I will change. I will change. Because God gives us time to do that. Let's read the scripture out of 2 Peter. Go. God isn't late with his promises, as some measure lateness. He's giving everyone time and space to, yeah, you might say, you know what? My life isn't going real good now because of the consequences of what I've done. Great, the Lord says, now I'm going to give you time and space to change, to grow, to change who you are, the way you think, the way you look, the way you act, your people skills, the way with which you deal with problems. Change all of that. Think through. Evaluate how you are. Do you have a tendency to alienate people by the way you speak and judge them? Well, your heart may be good, just maybe the way you come across. It might be fueled by insecurity and you alienate people. You might be over ambitious or you have a tendency to promote yourself all the time with everybody. Ask God, show me, Lord. And God's grace stays all the consequences to give us time to change. Then God's promises plus God's timing will equal God's, not just permission or acquiescence, God's blessing. God's blessing. He said, well, wait a minute, Wayne. What about all these people? I mean, they're all doing it. I live in a society where everybody's doing it one way. I mean, come on. This is the 21st century. Let's just do it like everybody else. Just as we're speaking, in the middle of that conversation, some other voice, almost like a Benjamin Franklin, the Continental Congress, would stand up and go, yeah, come on, everybody's doing yes? Oh, I'd like to say something if I could. Oh, what's your name? My name's Solomon. I come from the past of years ago, and I'd like to contribute something to this conversation. Another lesson from the past? Mm-hmm. What would you have to say, Solomon, who is known as the wisest man in the world? So you want to listen to him? Let's read what he says in Ecclesiastes 8. Go. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. Solomon says, yeah, even though sinners may seem to lengthen their life, this is what I know from ages past. Let those who fear God fear him openly. There's no better way to live. And in the end, you'll see God's blessings. After the Philistines take Samson, this is exactly what happened. They get a hot poker and poke out both of his eyes. So what happens is his spiritual blindness becomes in a physical manifestation. He is actually physically blinded. And that's what happens a lot in our lives. When we spiritually compromise, you'll see it happen in the physical manifestations. If I'm spiritually blind, you will see that you will not see things you should have seen. You'll miss opportunities you should have seen. The things that are spiritual actually manifest itself physically. And that's why the Bible says, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. In other words, as you become stronger spiritually, it'll ultimately manifest itself physically. And that's why it's so important for us to be people reading the Bible, doing daily devotions. We have journals outside. Pick up a journal at the bookstore. Start your daily devotions, because one of the best ways, and my desire for you, is to prosper physically in your relationships, finances, everything. Well, how's it going to start? By you prospering spiritually, because ultimately it will manifest itself physically. And we've seen that here. Well, I'm going to finish with a story. You can put your notes away and kind of relax. For the next 3 minutes, I'm going to tell you a story. It's one that I've done before. You'll see some of the pages of this Chinese book on the screen. It's about a little boy named Ping in a Chinese dynasty. And it's called The Empty Pot. And I think it holds with it, though it's an empty pot, a rich lesson. It goes like this. A long time ago in China, there was a boy named Ping, loved flowers. In fact, anything he planted burst into bloom. Up came flowers and bushes, fruit trees, as if by magic. Now, everyone in the kingdom loved flowers too. They planted them everywhere until the air smelled like perfume. Now, the emperor loved birds and animals, but flowers most of all. He tended his own garden every day. However, the emperor was old, very old, and he needed to choose a successor to the throne. Who would that be? How would he choose? Well, because the emperor loved flowers so much, he decided to let the flowers decide. So the next day, a proclamation was issued, and all the children in the land were to come to the palace. They would be given special flower seeds by the emperor himself. Whoever can show me their best in a year's time, he said, will succeed me to the throne. Well, this news created such great excitement throughout the land. I mean, children from all over the country swarmed the palace to get their flower seeds. All of the parents wanted their children to be chosen as emperor, and all the children hoped they'd be chosen as well. When Ping received his seed from the emperor, why, he was the happiest child of them all. He was sure he could grow the most beautiful flower. So, Ping went home with his flower seed, and he filled a flower pot with rich soil, and he planted the seed in it very carefully. He watered it every day. He couldn't wait to see it sprout and grow and blossom into a beautiful flower. Day after day passed, but nothing grew in his pot. Ping was getting worried. He put new soil into a bigger pot, and then he transferred the seed into the rich black soil. Another 2 months passed, and he waited, but still nothing happened. Now a whole year passed. Spring came, and all the children put on their best clothes to greet the emperor. They rushed into the palace with their beautiful flowers, eagerly hoping to be chosen. But Ping was ashamed of his empty pot. He thought the other children would laugh at him because for once he couldn't get a flower to grow. His clever friend ran by holding a great big plant. "Ping," he said, "you're not really going to go to the emperor with an empty pot, are you? Couldn't you grow a big flower like mine? Here, I have another one. Why don't you just take this one?" "Oh no," Ping said, I've grown lots of flowers better than yours, but it's just that this seed refuses to grow." Ping's father overheard this and said, "Ping, you did your best, and your best is good enough to present to the emperor." So holding his empty pot in his hands, Ping went straight to the palace. When he arrived, the emperor was looking at each flower slowly, one by one. How beautiful all the flowers were. But the emperor, why, he was frowning. Didn't say a word. Finally, he came to Ping. Ping hung his head in shame, expecting to be punished. The emperor asked him, "Why did you bring me an empty pot?" Ping started to cry. "I planted the seed you gave me, and I watered it every day, but it didn't sprout. I put it in a better pot with better soil, but it still didn't sprout. And I tended it all year long, but nothing grew. So today I had to bring an empty pot without a flower. It was the best I could do." When the emperor heard these words, a smile slowly spread over his face. And he put his arm around Ping. And then he exclaimed to one and all, "I have found him. I have found the person worthy of being emperor." Then he said to the other children, "Where you got your seeds from, I do not know. For the seeds I gave you all had first been cooked, so it was impossible for any of them to sprout." And I admire Ping's great courage to appear before me with the truth. And now I shall reward him with my entire kingdom and make him emperor over all the land.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Samson, Lessons from the Past by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify.